Do you wish healthy didn't have to be hard? What if there was another way? Well, there is. And it's the Jade Walker way, where healthy is delicious, easy and exciting, and doesn't have to mean saying no to chocolate and red wine. Welcome back, girls and guys. I'm your qualified naturopath, Jade Walker. And today on the very first show of the Jade Walker Way, you've got nothing but me. So we're going to go over who I am, what I do, and why I am bringing you this podcast today. And just talk a little bit about what got me here and why I became a naturopath. Just a little forewarning, I can be a little bit loud and passionate and sometimes slip a few swear words. But if you stick around, I think you'll definitely enjoy the show. So who am I? What do I currently do? Well, as you know, I am a naturopath. So I have a degree in health science, a Bachelor of Health Science. I also have my little online business. So I make beautiful herbal teas. And I've also recently launched my online energy accelerator course. And this course has been designed to really help people kickstart their energy levels and understand what's going on with their fatigue, but not even just energy and fatigue. It really just helps people to understand what's going on in their body and what to do about it, basically. So I practice remotely at the moment. So majority of my clients are online. So I've set up a really cool way for people to be able to access naturopathy, basically anywhere in the world. And this was a problem I was seeing, is that a lot of people that I knew from even my hometown, they don't have a naturopath there. And so people were like, I need this kind of healthcare, but I can't access it. So I've set up a really cool remote practice. I have practiced in Melbourne clinics. I've practiced in several different types of clinics. I've practiced with osteopaths, integrated doctors, medical scientists, traditional Chinese medicine, other naturopaths, a nutritionist, a dietitian. What else? I've practiced with so many different people, which is awesome. It's really helped me to gain this very holistic idea of what health should be. And honestly, that is what I'm so passionate about, is an integrated approach to healthcare. Throughout my degree, being such a science-based person, I really just felt like we can all integrate with each other and create the most effective healthcare system if we all work together. So that's basically who I am today. A little bit about me. I live in beautiful Geelong in Victoria, in Australia, if any of you are international listeners. And I live at home with my husband, Ed, and my beautiful puppy, Millie, although she's not a puppy anymore. She's 2 years old, but she's a big teddy bear. She's a big Groodle. For anyone who knows what Groodles are like, they're just big, fluffy, energetic teddy bears. I'm probably halfway between atheist and spiritual. So to explain that further, I guess I'm the kind of girl who loves Neil deGrasse Tyson and Brian Cox. Meanwhile, I'm probably at yoga, meditation, or calling in the positive vibes. Granted, I'm not into star signs or crystal healing, but I do love my big chunk of amethyst by my bedside table. And I love the warm glow of my Himalayan salt lamp because, you know, it looks pretty. So a little bit about my past before we jump into why I've created this podcast. I thought it would be important for you to understand where I've come from. Because first and foremost, I think when it comes to health practitioners, sometimes people get this skewed idea of who they are and they create this persona that seems really perfect and pure. And that can be intimidating for people and also make people hold back with what they also open up to me about, because they fear judgment if they aren't pure or they had a certain type of upbringing or background or a health history. And, you know, I think everyone has a past story that should be told so that we can humanize everyone and make everyone realize that we've all got a story to tell. So I grew up in South Australia in a small town called Whyalla. Funnily enough, it's actually classed as a city, but it's only about 24,000 people. And I lived there until I was 21 years old. So basically dive straight into my health history up until now. Now, I had a beautiful upbringing. I've got a beautiful family. We
loved to go to our beach house in Venus Bay, which is on the tip of the west coast. We loved fishing and the beach and adventure and that kind of thing. So I definitely feel like I had a really good upbringing. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are always going to make good choices. And really what happened for me, I would say, that set me onto a path of a bit of destruction and unhealthy choices certainly started in high school. And I'm sure this isn't an unfamiliar story for many people. You know, in high school, we want to dabble in things and we want to experiment and make some not the greatest choices. So for me, it was really my year 12 that set me on a bit of a deep and dark path. So I started to fall out with my friends. And obviously, when you're at the tender age of 17, turning on 18, you are just so vulnerable and sensitive, and isolation can be one of the worst things for a teenager's mental health. And that is the kind of road that I started going down. And so very quickly, I wasn't going to school anymore in year 12. And I was someone who was quite intelligent. I always, you know, if I did put my mind to things, I did quite well. But very quickly, I wasn't putting my mind to things. And so I wasn't going to school, and my parents obviously started getting calls from the principal saying, "Jade hasn't come to school today." And that was because I was way too upset to go to school because, you know, there's rumors, the rumor mill goes round. And it was a traumatic time for me. It was really, really upsetting. And it actually got to the point where, even though I never went to the doctor and sought out professional advice, I know, knowing what I know now, understanding how depression works, I absolutely would have been diagnosed with depression and no doubt given antidepressants. With the way that I was feeling, I would quite often go into my room and just cry myself to sleep. I hated my life. I hated myself. I hated my body. I did not love myself. And I certainly had days where I didn't want to be here anymore. I truly can openly say that I had feelings that I just did not want to be here. And what was my saving grace was that one of the career choices that I really aspired to be at that point in time was a TV journalist. And I had thought, you know, obviously I'll finish year 12 if I can and go to uni and study journalism. And luckily enough, a cadetship came up at our local newspaper, at the Wylam News, for a journalist. And first of all, these didn't always come around. And secondly, they're very competitive. But when my dad pointed it out to me, because my dad, he's an assistant principal himself, and he could see I was struggling. And he could see that this also sounded like something that could save me as well. And he's like, "Jade, I really think that you should apply for this." So when I saw that, that was it. I had to get that cadetship. There was no other option. Otherwise, I was dropping out of year 12 and life was going to decline really quickly. So I did everything in my power to make sure that I got that cadetship. Long story short, I got the job. And that was absolutely my saving grace, because I was very much going down a deep and dark path. So at the very young age of 17, I dove into the deep end of journalism in a cadetship. And it was amazing. It was certainly the thing that put me on the path to understand what my full potential is, basically. So I did that for 3.5 years. And granted, I certainly wasn't quote unquote fixed. I certainly still had many moments of making poor choices, and I had a lot of lessons to learn. And we still are, of course. I certainly, within that time, you know, stemming from my high school all the way up until I was about 21, drug use was a very common thing, particularly in a small town. It starts off with usual marijuana. It leads on to ecstasy. And then when ecstasy dries up, it leads on to harsher things such as ice or acid or things like that. And I'll be honest with you, I have tried ice before when I was younger. And my gosh, am I glad that I'm not one of the unlucky ones who gets addicted. And I saw so many friends around me who got addicted to ice. And, you know, there's just so much judgment and stigma around the drug, because once someone gets sucked into ice, it can be so damaging, and it can create this person that that person never was before. And so people judge them based off that. But a lot of the time, it's just someone like me or you, and unfortunately, they got hooked when someone like myself didn't. So luckily, I only did it a few times, but most of my weekends were spent doing drugs, getting absolutely blind off my face, and making very silly choices. But I don't regret any of that, because it really has shaped who I am today. So throughout my cadet journalism years, I really loved it. I loved the photography element. I was the sports editor. I really loved laying out the paper. I loved all that creative stuff. But very quickly, I started to realize that maybe this isn't the path for me. Maybe this isn't what I want to do. And to be honest, I really hated chasing people up for stories. I actually commend people that do that every week and run by the deadlines. Journalism is not an easy job. It's stressful and doesn't pay well. And so I decided to go over into advertising at the newspaper to try something different, because I just wasn't feeling it anymore. And just like any new job, you're in that honeymoon phase, you love it, you think this is what's best for you, but then again, it starts to die off. And I had a client who was a real estate agent, and they were quite impressed with my new young blood, I guess you could say, and they wanted me to come and work for them and train up to be a real estate agent. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. I think I could definitely do that. Also, it pays well. And so I went over to work with them. I just started off in reception, and slowly they were going to show me the ropes. But once again, I started to realize, okay, is this really what I want to do? You know, the honeymoon phase started to wear off. And it was around that time as well that I started to become really curious about science. And with my dad, he is a science fanatic as well. He teaches or has taught biology, English, science. He also studied biology himself. And we both have had many late night discussions over a glass of red wine talking about evolution of the earth. And so I've been very scientifically minded. And I started just constantly looking up documentaries and videos online and reading articles that I kind of didn't even understand, but I just wanted to know more. I just became really curious. And my friend and I, we at one point decided that we want to move to Queensland. Now, this is another long story short. Of course, we got to that point through certain reasons. And then at that point, I decided, okay, if I'm going to move to Queensland, I'm going to create a new life for myself, and I'm going to study marine biology. So I had my scuba diver's license. I was very passionate about the giant cuttlefish that South Australia is very famous for. If you haven't been and checked those out, it's a world phenomenon. It's absolutely stunning. And I was very passionate about protecting the cuttlefish at that time, because they were under a bit of a threat by this desalination plant. And I thought, this is what I'll do. I will move up to Townsville. I'm going to get a degree in marine biology, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to study how we're going to protect these cuttlefish. And so, long story short, we moved up to Townsville. Best thing I did. And I started studying a Bachelor of Science. So I had to do 1 year in Bachelor of Science General first to be able to then cross over into marine biology. And I started studying this Bachelor of Science, and my gosh, for someone who, I didn't finish year 12, by the way, if I haven't already clarified that, I dropped out halfway through year 12 to do the cadetship in journalism. And for someone who didn't finish year 12, who didn't remember a thing about chemistry or biology lessons, this was a very steep learning curve. I was like, no joke, my chemistry exam, I think, went for 3 hours, and some of my formulas were over a page long, and I had to remember how to calculate these formulas. Like, gosh, I would not be able to remember them at all to this day. But I must say, I was so proud of myself for doing it, and I passed all my subjects. Anyway, But then where my turning point happened is just in a sec, but I'm going to add another layer onto this story as to what led me into the next turning point. So before I left Whyalla at around 21, I had also gone on a little bit of a health journey myself. So going back to my journalism days, it wasn't a healthy lifestyle. We would often eat at our desk. We would work through our lunch breaks. We would go down to the local Indian restaurant and get the most buttery butter chickens and naan bread. I have beautiful, clear memories of going to this gorgeous bakery and getting cream and jam filled chocolate glazed donuts and the best flaky pastry sausage rolls and pasties. And obviously, very quickly, that catches up on you. And I wasn't living the best picture of health. And on top of that, obviously, I was doing drugs on the weekend. I was staying up very late before having to get up early for paper days. I was very underslept. And then, of course, I was also drinking 4 to 5 coffees a day. So yeah, I wasn't the picture of good health. And naturally, I started to gain a little bit of weight as well. And so I decided at one point to become vegan. And this was very unlike me because I was always a little bit stubborn against veganism. You know, those that were plant-based, I must admit, I was a little bit judgmental and, you know, would make the little sniggering jokes behind their backs. And it was actually because of that stubbornness to the reason why I became vegan. Now, full disclaimer, I'm not vegan anymore, but this is what put me on the path to discovering health. So the way that that started truly was one day I posted on Instagram this vegetable soup that I made. This was before I went vegan. And I hashtagged vegan because the recipe just naturally was vegan. And someone commented on this post and said, "Oh, are you vegan? You know, this looks really yum." And I was like, "No, I'm not." And it was one of those very patronizing replies, I'll be honest. And this is why I can read through the bullshit when other people comment this crap to me. I said something like, "No, you know, as much as it sounds great, like I could never do that, obviously, for health reasons," like, which was just a total cop out because I didn't know what the hell I was talking about then. And she wrote back and said, "You know, I get that, but, you know, you should look into X, Y, and Z regarding the health benefits." And so I was like, "Oh, I'll prove her. I'm going to do my quote unquote research on this." And so I started doing that so-called research, which now having a health science degree certainly wasn't the level of research that I would attribute to research today. However, what I was finding as I did my Google searches on veganism and the health benefits, or more so, I think I was actually searching the reasons why vegan isn't good for you. I actually kept coming up against all the opposite reasons. And so I was like, "Oh shit, I think this girl might be right." And my best friend at the time, she was also vegetarian. So I just thought, you know what? How about I just give it a go? And so I posted this thing and said, "All right, if 100 people like this photo, I'll go vegan for the next 30 days or something like that." And I didn't quite get to 100 likes back then. This was like 8 years ago, but it was quite close. And I think I wanted to do it anyway. So kind of the rest was history. And for the next pretty much 3 years, I was vegan. So with that made me become a lot more health conscious. And I naturally lost a lot of weight as well. So from the heaviest to the lowest. So my heaviest that I ever remember weighing was, I think, 78 kilos. And granted, I'm not saying that that's obese or anything, but, you know, I certainly didn't feel healthy within myself. And then to my lightest, when I was doing vegan, I went down to about 60 kilos. And just to put that in perspective, I'm 175 centimeters tall. And so, to be honest, when I got down to 60 kilos, I think a lot of people were saying, "I think you've gone a little bit too far." And when I look back, I think, yeah, I probably did push it. Anyway, and now I weigh, I think the last time I weighed myself, I was 69 kilos. So obviously, you know, I've gained a lot of that back and I feel like I am a really healthy weight now. But anyway, so going back to Townsville now, where I'm at that turning point. So because of this, you know, newfound health and energy and weight loss, and I was posting a lot of health stuff on Instagram, as you do, and everyone else around me kept saying, like, why don't you study nutrition? Because clearly you're very passionate about it. And when I say passionate, like, I mean outspoken passionate. And I kept saying, you know, yeah, I have thought about it. You know, I would like to, but, you know, I've started this now. I've already had a past career in journalism and I just don't want to turn around now. And, you know, it was so dumb because I was only 21 or 22 maybe at that time. And it was so dumb because at that time I was only 22 years old. And honestly, I was saying it's too late now, which is just a total cop out because honestly, even if I was 30 now with what I know, it still would not be too late. Or if I was 40 or 50, you know, wherever you are in your life, it's never too late to do what you love and what you're passionate about. But anyway, silly young me was saying, it's too late. I can't turn around now. I'm going to stick with this degree. So I stayed with that stubbornness for a little bit. But it was my real turning point was actually when I went overseas with my housemate and we decided to volunteer in Cambodia. And we went to an elephant refuge for a week, which, my gosh, was so amazing. If any of you are going to Cambodia, I highly recommend you going to Mondulkiri, which is known for the elephant refuges. And there's this beautiful one that we went to where they've helped to rescue elephants from the entertainment industry, so such as riding elephants, circus elephants, and that kind of thing. And what they do is they arrange with the family because they have a really holistic approach to this. Rather than judging the family for what they're doing, they work with them because they understand that this elephant is providing a livelihood for their family because it's paying for their food and whatever they need to survive. So what the refuge does is actually pays them in rice so that their family can have food in return for them taking the elephant. So a lot of the elephants aren't actually owned. Some of them are, but they do have to pay quite a big fee. So what that means, though, is the family can actually come and grab that elephant at any time and take it back and cancel the plan. Most of them don't, but apparently every now and then there was one that sadly got taken back. But anyway, as volunteers, you can go there and help to replant banana forestations to help feed the elephants. You also chop down the banana plant trees and hike them up and down these stairs. Like, I reckon I lost a few kilos just in that week because we were out in the hot sun walking up and down. Like, it was a real good workout. You're also helping to, like, just maintain things around the place, and you also get to go on a trek with the owner and he shows you the elephants. You get to get up close to them. It's an incredible experience. Elephants are actually my favorite animal. I have one tattooed on my right foot. So then the next week we went to a self-help school just near Angkor Wat. And this was where my life changed. So we had a talk to us from the person who started this self-help school. And he was talking to us about why he started it. He was extremely passionate about helping people. And he had a similar upbringing to many with a low income, and he did all the things he needed to do, such as tuk-tuk driving and cleaning and anything he could do to make money. And he had this big vision that he wanted to create this self-help school. And so with $200, he started this school. And whilst he continued talking, I started to slightly zone out. You know when one ear is listening and then the other side of your brain is thinking about all the things and processing what they're saying? And all this emotion started to well up inside of me, and it was just this reality check. I said to myself, what are you doing? Is this really what you want to be doing, what you're studying right now? Is it really too late? Because if this guy can start a self-help school with $200. And when you looked around and saw all the amazing work he'd done, it's just it blows you away. And then there I am, living in quite a privileged environment to have whatever I want, and I'm making up stupid excuses as to why I can't do something. So whilst I continued listening to him, tears literally started welling up in my eyes and I couldn't control it. And when we got back to our motel, I just couldn't stop crying. And so my new boyfriend at the time, which is now my husband, Ed, I called him on WhatsApp, I think it was, whichever I could get Wi-Fi free calls on. And I was crying and I told him how I was feeling and what I was thinking. And he already had the answer because I met him in Townsville. He worked in the army up there. And he was always going to be moving down to Melbourne fairly soon, but I wasn't sure. I was a bit on the fence about that because I wanted my year-round warmth and sunshine. Definitely didn't want to move down to dreary, cold Victoria, or so everyone calls it. But he very quickly got online and sent me a link to Endeavour College of Natural Health, which is where I did my degree. And he's like, "Babe, I really think you should just be studying nutrition. This is obviously what you're passionate about and this is what you're supposed to be doing. I've already looked it up. This is meant to be the best college in natural health, blah, blah, blah." So I looked at it. I was like, yep, that's what I'm going to do. When I get home, that is what I'm going to do. I was so adamant, like nothing was going to change my mind. So the moment that I got home, I literally called Endeavour College. I hadn't even unenrolled out of my other degree yet, I think. And I told them that I wanted to study nutrition. So they said, yep, we'll send you the course guide and all the info you need. But what hit my inbox was actually the course guide for naturopathy. And I think it was an accident. And I had been thinking that I did want to study naturopathy because another layer that I forgot to add was that I actually started working at the Happy Herb Shop in Townsville. I'll touch on that in a sec. And so I became open to herbal medicine. And so when I saw that hit my inbox, because at first I decided I wouldn't do naturopathy just because it was an extra year. So nutrition's 3 years, naturopathy's 4 years. I was like, I just don't want to add any more time. There was still those self-limiting beliefs a little bit, I think. Anyway, but when I saw the course guide, I just thought, no, that's a sign. It's clearly meant to be that I need to study naturopathy because that's truly what my heart desires. So just like that, I enrolled in naturopathy and then I called James Cook University and I unenrolled out of a Bachelor of Science. And the rest is history. Well, there's a lot more to the story than that. But going back to the Happy Herb Shop, that was absolutely another crucial component of setting me on the path. So when I first moved to Townsville, I got a cold. And this is very common for people that move from the south to the north with that significant temperature change, and not so much even the temperature change, but because you've got the air cons pumping, you're just not used to the heat. And so I got this really awful cold. And so I thought, okay, I'll do what I usually do, go get some cold and flu tablets from the pharmacy. But funnily enough, next to the pharmacy was the Happy Herb Shop. So for those of you, you might be aware of what was once termed the Happy High Herbs, and they changed their name to the Happy Herb Shop. And so I thought, I've always wanted to pop in there and see if I can get some sort of natural remedy. Didn't really know what I was looking for. Probably had only ever heard of chamomile and echinacea at that point. But I decided to go in there and just check it out and see what she might recommend. And much to my delight, there was this beautiful lady there. Her name was Mel. And she was the owner. She was just a breath of fresh air and she was so helpful. And when I told her that I had just moved to Townsville and I was studying, she said, "Oh, if you're looking for a job, I'm looking for a casual." And I just couldn't believe my luck because I had been there for a few weeks and I had been applying for so many jobs and for some reason no one was hiring. And I just couldn't believe it. And I said, "Yep, I'm around the corner. I'll be back in a sec with my resume." And I did. And she called me and she said, "If you want to come in for a trial, just to see if it's the kind of thing that would suit you, and then we'll go from there. And yeah, I absolutely loved it. And so the Happy Herb Shop, I worked there for, I think it was like a year and 7 months, which was kind of the time that I was in Townsville for. And that was what opened my eyes to herbal medicine. And granted, I certainly reflect on working there and realize that I was stepping out of my scope with some of the advice that we were giving. And we certainly were recommended, we were always advised, you're not allowed to give advice. You can only, you know, it's hard to describe, but you can't advise them what to do, but you can kind of just educate them and what the herbs may do. But sometimes, you know, you would push the envelope a little bit. And there were some times where I was recommending things that I cringe when I think about it now. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that person's health history, you know, all those things. Because now as a naturopath, you know, we take a 1 hour consult when people come to see us for the first time, you know, compared to people that would walk into a shop and be in the shop for 10 minutes and then walk out with their prescription. And we had this one particular book that had all this advice. It was written by Isabel Shipard. That was like our Bible on herbs. And we would often refer to that. And anyway, so we would see people come back and just get these profound results. And I was just blown away. I was like, wow, this is incredible. And yes, don't get me wrong. I know that the placebo effect can sometimes come into play. But now having studied the science behind herbs, it fully makes sense. There's so much evidence for these herbs and the actions that they have on the body. So that was very integral into putting me on the path of naturopathy. It was that extra element for me to become interested in herbal medicine. So fast track, we moved to Melbourne, and that's where everything really started to begin. So I did my degree at Endeavour College in Melbourne in naturopathy and absolutely loved it. And that really opened up my mind to what we can do in as practitioners. But what I also was finding very frustrating was all this information that we were learning that's evidence-based, and yet no one knew this stuff. No one knew how they could heal themselves just by eating good quality food and getting out in the sunshine and having certain supplements and herbal medicines where required. It just blew my mind. All these dietary aspects that are the complete opposite of what the Western diet is about. You know, it would often leave me, to be honest, quite frustrated at the end of every lecture because I'm like, oh my gosh, why aren't we taught this stuff? Hence why I'm here today making this podcast. So basically, the reason why I made this podcast, now having practice in clinic, what I very quickly became frustrated by and still am today is that because I am such a passionate person and I want to be able to help everybody, you're so limited by that in and out transactional method. You can only teach one person in that one given amount of time. And at the same time, even in that given amount of time, you still can't teach them everything you want to know. Like if I were to teach people everything they need to know to truly optimize their health, it's going to take them like a year of coming back and forth. And quite often there were also things that I wish I just had a podcast that I could also add to that treatment plan and be like, also listen to this podcast on gut health because it's going to help you understand why we're doing the treatment protocols that we're doing. Because sometimes if you don't understand why you're doing something, it won't make sense and you may not comply very well. So a couple of other reasons why I made this podcast is really because I have a lot to say. I've always been that person that is not afraid to get up on the stage at school and do public speaking, which I did. I often am the outspoken and vocal person in any conversation. And in fact, I've had to do a lot of work to try and retract that sometimes so that I don't accidentally talk over the top of people. I'm just very passionate. I'm at sometimes quite unapologetic as well. And quite frankly, I don't give a fuck because I want people to truly understand the truth. And I don't want to sugarcoat anything. I don't want to beat around the bush. And another reason why I've made this podcast is because I am sick of naturopath bashing. I'm sick of natural health bashing. And in my profession, obviously I'm surrounded by a lot of positivity around this, but I'm also very well aware that there are some people who also bash on the natural health or what we call the complementary and alternative medicine field or CAM. You know, there's lots of different terms for it. And really, this is only doing us a disservice, our whole health service a disservice, if we are trying to continue this us and them mentality, because it's never going to really, it's only going to get you so far if you have that us and them mentality, because you're significantly limiting what you can do for someone's health. And having worked in an integrated clinic, I've seen how well the integrated method can work by literally having every kind of practitioner in the same building. So having your GP, having a naturopath, a nutritionist, a dietitian, massage therapy, a medical scientist, osteopaths, chiropractors, whatever it is, if we could all work together, we can all fill in the blank. Because at the end of the day, one practitioner can only do so much, and we shouldn't be trying to run in every lane. We need to stick to our own lane, and then that person can go and see the other person, the other practitioner for the other condition. But unfortunately, with that us and their mentality, we're only doing our patients a disservice. So that's why I've made this podcast, so that you can access this information and make your own informed choice. So my missions in this podcast, first of all, is to cut through the bullshit. Like I said, I am very outspoken, and I'm also very transparent. One of my big missions is to be transparent and genuine. I'm sick of the Instagram facade, especially with health coaches and people who aren't actually qualified in health and are trying to portray this particular type of facade. And as I was saying earlier in the podcast, this is dangerous because people assume that you live this pure and perfect life, when if you met that person in real life, I bet you that a life isn't perfect, because newsflash, not everyone's life is perfect. And that is reality. That is life. And that is why I'm very honest on my Instagram and Facebook about the health challenges that I'm going through. I talk about when I've had a rock bottom. I talk about when I've had a gut flare up. You know, so I don't want you to think that I'm this perfect and pure person. Whilst I do try and seek out any kind of little biohacks, or I love to supplement, I love to, you know, eat good healthy food, I still enjoy a glass of red wine. If I am tolerating it, whilst at the moment I'm not tolerating it, I will eat pizza if I want to. You know, if it's a Friday night, I've had a big week, I want to go out with my husband and enjoy some good comfort food. But I dilute that with 90% of the time being healthy, with healthy lifestyle, dietary and other choices, and supplementation and meditation and all those kind of choices. So this is what I really, really want to get across most, is that you can be healthy and still enjoy life. And I mean, we could also dive into the rabbit hole of orthorexia, because obviously these health fluences or influencers who don't have any credentials can sometimes cause a negative influence on people, particularly influential young teenagers, who get so overcautious about what they're eating because they want to be like that person, that they lead themselves into an eating disorder. So a couple of other missions that I have is I want to make health easy, affordable, and achievable, particularly even when it just comes to simple things such as recipe and food ideas. I want people to understand that it can be quick and easy and affordable. You know, even with my clients, when people are asking me for dietary advice, I always try and keep that in mind. What is going to be the thing that is going to be the easiest thing to do and that family can afford? And then slowly but surely add extra layers as you go along. There's no point telling someone who's grown up on McDonald's to go and start being paleo and completely cut everything out and start eating grass-fed, organic, free-range, what have you, because that's not going to be realistic for some people. Granted, some people can do it if you're a type A personality and you just latch on to the first new thing that you learn, then yeah, great. There are some people that can do that. But for in reality, not everyone can. And I'll be honest that I am often that kind of person. So also when it comes to my missions of this podcast, I want to help you understand what exactly is going on with your health. I want you to be able to be armed with the information that is going to help you to have or make informed choices and really dig a little bit deeper. So don't just become complacent with your diagnosis and just accept that that's all it is. This is a life sentence. I'm going to have to be on this medication and conform to this diagnosis for the rest of my life. Why don't you dig a little bit deeper and find out a little bit more as to what was the root cause? What were the exacerbating factors? Do you have genetic polymorphisms that have drove you here? Do you have a gut condition? Do you have nutrient deficiencies? And how do you figure that out? And then what do you do about it? That's really what I want this podcast to be about, to help you finally figure out what is going on in your body. And most importantly, as I've said earlier, I also want this to be a very integrated approach. I'm never going to be a doctor basher. I have so much respect for doctors and what they do. And unfortunately, in the natural health profession, there still is a little bit of that going on. Look, there are good naturopaths and bad naturopaths. There are good doctors and bad doctors. There are good teachers and bad teachers. You know, there's good politicians, but very far and few between. But we just need to make sure that we are keeping an open mind, trying not to pass too much judgment, but I'm still going to call it out where it's due. And there will be times where I might say, oh, you know, it's frustrating because the doctor didn't test this or whatever, but it's not that I'm having a go at that. It's more about the whole model itself and how it's a little bit flawed. So that would be, in a nutshell, that's my mission on what I want to do. So I hope that that's given you a really good in-depth insight to who I am and where I've come from and why I'm creating this podcast for you. What I would really love for you to do, if you have enjoyed this podcast, is please help me out by subscribing and sharing this with all your friends and family, whether that's on your Facebook, your Instagram, your LinkedIn, or whichever social media platform you use. That would truly help me be more motivated to continue this. Of course, I'm going to, but it really just pipes me up and makes me want to bring more content. And because unfortunately, with algorithms and the way they work these days, the more subscriptions and interaction you get on anything, the more bumped up you're going to be in the feed. And, you know, particularly on, say, like iTunes, obviously, I will be more highly recommended if more people write nice reviews and subscribe. So if you can do that, of course, I want them to be genuine. Please write me a review. I always love, love, love feedback. If you've got any constructive criticism that you might like to share or even just something nice to say, please PM me or inbox me. I always appreciate it and I always reply to everyone. And also, if you like, you might like to take a screenshot of this podcast and post it onto your story or share it that way. And I look forward to bringing you so much more on the Jade Walkaway. So till next time, I hope you've enjoyed this show. I shall be seeing you soon with some really awesome information and some amazing special guests.